All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Monday, March 6th. I am Doug Norrie from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. We had about a week away from the podcast, so hopefully those folks that were out there listening each day are still willing to download and listen after a brief hiatus. We'll be here from now through the rest of the NBA season weekdays talking NBA basketball. For those that don't know, DFSR.com/membership is where you can go to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system that's powered by Lineup Lab, that's going to give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and then includes all sports that we cover during the season. So right now we're covering NBA optimal lineups. We also have our NHL base projections going up there each day, and then if you sign up, that'll also include baseball projections, MLB, and optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, which is coming sooner than you'd expect, about less than a month away from baseball starting, which feels crazy, but true nonetheless. So free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all set to go. Think you will be pleasantly pleased. I think that's the word for it. So go check that out. We have a pretty full day in the NBA today. A ton of fantasy implications. I'm going to try to break it down game by game. We'll spend some more time on some games than others. That's just the nature of sort of how some of the injury pieces break down, where some of the value lies. But we'll go through each game, talk a little bit about guys you are going to want to consider in those games, and how you can maybe set a sort of mental baseline for what today's NBA slate is going to look like. 12 games. First one up is Knicks and Orlando. And it's funny with Orlando. So a lot to think about here. Orlando for most of the season has been one of these teams that we just simply couldn't trust in terms of how they were deploying specifically their starters' minutes, right? So they would have guys like Elfrid Payton, Aaron Gordon, to some degree Fournier, although a little bit less than him, and Vucevic. All these guys would, Ibaka, but he's gone now, would start, but then Frank Vogel was just had such a quick hook on them, or just wasn't sure which rotations he wanted to use, and the minutes were all over the place. Since the Ibaka trade, that has begun to steady a little bit. And now we're looking at a situation with these guys where they're still coming pretty cheap, but the minute expectation on them has raised significantly. Guys like Aaron Gordon are starting to play minutes in the mid-30s. Terrence Ross, who came over in the Ibaka trade, is pretty much a lock for mid-30s minutes with a decent usage rate. Fournier, we've never really had to worry too much about his minutes. He's still seeing minutes in the mid-30s. And then, of course, we have the prospect of getting to play Bismack Biyombo again tonight, who could fill in for Vuce. So that is this is a team where, honestly, I mean, really, Elfrid Payton's is still the sort of odd man out among the starters. I'm not really willing to trust him. But if Vuce is out again, all four of those of the Gordon, Fournier, Ross, and Bismack combo is really in play in cash games today. They're all coming very cheap for the minutes that they're getting. The Knicks are not a good defensive team. So I think that you could see a situation where you could be playing, and this is what kind of happened to us last night also, you could be playing 3-4 Magic in cash games, which feels crazy because there was a point in the season where that was not something you would ever have considered. But they're all just coming. The price points are very low. Bismack would be an absolute chalk play if he were to start again. I was actually pretty surprised. He was only somewhere like in the 60% range last night starting for the big guys. So you'd see that climb significantly to, you know, up in the 80s probably if he were to get the start again, because the secret's out on him. He had a huge game and the price didn't move at all. So that's an injury situation that we're going to want to keep an eye on for sure. And you know, those and the other starters, you know, with Vuce out, those other starters do see all of them, I think, see usage increases if he's not on the court as well. So really everybody in play against a Knicks team that really struggles on defense. You're not worried anything about a blowout there. So love that game. I kind of like it, no, with or without Vucevic, but I think I've said his name three different ways in the three times I've said it. But really liking what I'm seeing there. Knicks side of the ball, not as exciting here. They're coming off. They kept it close with the Warriors yesterday. Weren't able to finish in the end. And that's just, I mean, it's to be expected. Their personnel. They were kind of just lucky to even still remain in the game playing at home. Ended up losing by, I think, 7 or 8. But I'm a little worried about the back-to-back for some of those guys, like Melo, who did see significant minutes. Porzingis saw minutes yesterday. So Rose, too. I mean, I don't think the Knicks need to work on managing these guys on back-to-backs. But those guys are somewhat interesting against the Magic. Like I said, the Magic are not a very good defensive team. I think you're still getting a pretty good price on Rose. Decent price on Melo, under 8,000 on FanDuel. Porzingis, it's just the minutes with him you're a little concerned about, because they have managed him a little bit. If you thought that he was going to play 35, 36 minutes at 6,700 on FanDuel, I think you'd easily snap call that, but I just don't think you can trust that that's really the case. So this is a pretty interesting game, all things considered. Knicks and Orlando, we'll have all the injury news we need for it before lineup lock, which is great. And we'll be able to make pretty much all the decisions we need there. Tons of value in that game. Going to be pretty heavily exposed to that one. Cleveland and Miami, LeBron and Kyrie sat last game. That was just a rest thing coming off the back-to-back against Atlanta. They're both scheduled to play again tonight. Not a great matchup against Miami, who plays pretty slow. Cleveland's about a 9-point favorite, so there's moderate blowout risk here. Mostly you're just not too excited to play teams against the Heat. The Heat play a slow enough pace. They have, you know, a somewhat of a rim protector in Whiteside. It's mostly just a pacing issue here. Yeah, you know, sure, Cleveland's supposed to put up points, and we've seen LeBron play significant minutes, because when he plays, they kind of need him. They need him to play. I don't think they want to be playing him as many minutes as they have been, but they just kind of need to, and you see what happens. They're not even able to get away with these schedule losses like the Spurs are sometimes able to get away with. They got smoked when they sat those two guys the other night. So I think you see LeBron play 37-ish minutes, but 11,000 on FanDuel, I'm just not really willing to go there with that price. It's just the matchup isn't good enough, I don't think, to warrant paying him, paying up for that price, even on a slate that's just kind of chock full of value. So nothing really on the Cleveland side that I'm getting too excited about here. Same kind of thing with Miami. You're not really getting much in the way of value playing against a team like Cleveland, who overall is a very good defensive team. Even sometimes we'll target guys against point guards against the Cavs because they really struggle on that end, and you could maybe see Dragic, but I still think there's other value just better along the slate than guys like him. So I'm not really too inclined to go nuts on, just because I just don't see it. There's too many other games with fast paces and some cheaper plays. So Cleveland, Miami, mostly a stay away for me, unless there was some kind of random injury news. But it's, considering we saw LeBron and Kyrie sit last game, I don't think that's going to be the case. Philly and Milwaukee, though, is a game that we are going to want to take a look at. Jahlil Okafor is questionable right now. This is another situation where it's a 7 o'clock game, so I think we're going to have the injury news well ahead of time. But Okafor is questionable. We know Embiid is now out for the season, and they've shipped off Nerlens Noel. That really doesn't leave any big men for the Sixers at this point. They don't really have all they have in the way of big men now is Rashawn Holmes, Saric, and that's kind of it. Then they're playing with a bunch of just kind of like shooting guard, small forward types. Last game, when they played the Pistons, I mean, they got smoked. They lost by 30, partly because they just don't have any big men, right? So Drummond just went crazy on the boards, had 14 boards in only 32 minutes. They really weren't able to stop anybody from scoring. The guys didn't play tons of minutes because they were getting blown out, though. I mean, at this point, the Sixers really aren't incentivized to win anyway, so you're not probably going to see big minutes. Now, the thing is, though, they're just so light on bodies. If Okafor were to sit again, you're really just left with, you know, 6 to 7 guys. And Gerald Henderson sat as well, and that was the big story. That was another piece that helped sort of round out some of the rotations for here. So what you're looking at with the Sixers is the expectation. Let's say that Henderson and Okafor both sit again, which is completely in play. I don't think they have big incentive to play those guys. I think you see minutes out of Stauskas again. I think you see minutes out of Covington, Saric, Holmes. I think all those guys are in play. Now, it didn't work out last time because they got blown out by the Pistons. Again, they could get blown out again here. The line does not suggest that they're going to get blown out. They are only 3.5 point dogs to Milwaukee, which I don't know. I mean, maybe that says more about Milwaukee than it does about Philly. So I think what you're looking at here is, I think cash game wise, Stauskas, he's sort of hit or miss, so you know, I don't think you're getting, you know, we saw the game before, he barely did anything in 30 minutes, and then last game he went crazy. So I don't think he's a safe play. He's kind of a high variance play because he needs the score. I think he would be, but at a 3,900 on FanDuel, I think you could probably take the risk. I think Covington, his price has come up a decent amount just because he actually was playing pretty significant minutes. If you thought he was going to see run in like the mid-30s, maybe he might be getting a little bit expensive. Homie Dario, the usage on him and the rebounding has been great. He's a little tough, kind of a tough nut to crack in terms of like what the reality is. I don't think they really want to play him a ton, but he has seen minutes in the high 30s at times. That hasn't been in the short term, so you're taking a little bit of a risk. And then Holmes as well, if you think you're going to get, you know, 25 to 30 minutes out of him. I only played 24 last game, but if you thought 25 to 30 was the reality for him, then at 4,500 on FanDuel, he's another fantastic value. So we want to keep an eye out on what's going on there with Philly. Again, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the news ahead of time. Could be a ton of value coming through in that game as well. And you can just kind of see this is the theme of the night, that there are a lot of cheap plays that you are possibly going to feel pretty good about running out in cash games. On the Milwaukee side, Chris Middleton still underpriced for how he's played since coming back from injury. Even at 5,600 on FanDuel, if you think 32 to 33 minutes is the norm for him, now you play, really good sign for him. He played on the back-to-back. He played 31 minutes on the back-to-back the other night. Looked really, really good. They had given him sort of this implied cap that they didn't want to run him over. They actually sat him in a close game in crunch time because they stuck to that minutes thing that they had said pre-game. But the fact that he looked good, I don't think he wanted to sit. I can see those minutes starting to creep up continually for him. And if that's the case, and if they're going to creep up sort of in line with the price creeping up, then you're going to still be able to get value on him. So we have him at 33 minutes right now. He's one of the top small forward points per dollar plays in the system, even at 5,600. The price has come up a little bit more on DraftKings to 65, still a pretty good points per dollar multiplier. So yeah, I think you still feel pretty comfortable playing Middleton, even if you don't think he's going to have trouble hitting huge upside if they're just going to be pulling him at, you know, in the low 30s of minutes. It's just sort of run out of time to do what you need to do, but still think cash game viable. And then there's Giannis. Giannis is an interesting case here. Now, when Jabari Parker went down, Giannis's, according to what our queries we were looking at, Giannis's usage and rebounding actually declines with him on the court. He's struggled. Now, he struggled at these prices in the short term. The minutes have been somewhat variable. There's been some blowouts in there, but he's really not hit value at this number. He kind of barely did it against the Clippers, and really the three other games with Toronto, Denver, and Cleveland, he really hasn't. So, I think you've seen him dip a little bit in price, so I think you're getting a slightly better deal on him. I'm a little worried that Middleton coming back, you know, a lot of his Parker on off court stuff was because Middleton wasn't there, right? So it confuses the query a little bit to sort of have right around the time that Middleton comes back, Parker goes down. So I think Giannis I'm a little bit more willing to do it maybe on DraftKings where he's only 10,000. He's still hovering around 11,000 on FanDuel. I'm not as excited about his price there, but on DraftKings I can consider it just because he's starting to dip down he's right at the 10,000 mark, and I think that is getting close to where you can consider it. Probably only a GPP play for me tonight, though, in that range, but interesting for sure. And then you get Malcolm Brogdon, who played 41 minutes against Toronto the other night. That is, do I think that's the normal amount that he's going to see? Of course not. But if you think mid-30s is a number for him, 5,000 on FanDuel, very, very nice price for a guy who can score. He'll shoot the three. Not a huge assist guy just because of the way their offense runs. I mean, he's labeled as a point guard, but they have obviously Giannis playing that like point small forward sort of hybrid position that he plays. So you're not going to get tons of assists out of the point guard position from the Milwaukee, whether it's Brogdon or Dellavedova. But if Brogdon is going to see that sort of, you know, mid-30s minutes starting at the quote-unquote point guard, then I think you can take a chance on him as well. I'm a little worried. The only thing I worry about with him is just that we've seen enough cases where they're just not fully, fully committed to him playing, you know, just running all the time. They will bring in Dellavedova in enough that it does kind of kill some of his it just kind of kills some of his safety. So, but Brogdon's also definitely still interested in looking at him, mostly 5,000 on FanDuel. Chicago and Detroit play tonight. For the most part, this game for me is a stay away. Both teams play pretty slow. You're not really getting, it's one of the lowest totaled games on the night. I believe it is actually, it's the second lowest after this Utah game. I don't see what upside you're really getting from here. Like, for instance, you'd have to pay for Butler the same as Kawhi. I think Kawhi's in a much better matchup. So I think, like, even just one-to-one comparisons on some of these guys, for like Dwayne Wade, you're not really getting him coming cheap. He's close to 8,000, so no thanks. And then the rest of the Bulls, you really can't ever trust what it is they're going to do. I mean, maybe you think Bobby Portis is going to play enough minutes, but he's seen a price increase. He's not really coming at you. Actually, you know, I take that back. He's only 4,400, but again, you can't really trust the minutes because you just don't know who Hoiberg is going to play in given rotations outside of Butler and Wade. So I don't think so on that side. Detroit side, they have some guys that'll see minutes, but it's not safe enough. Like Reggie Jackson, they're not fully committed to him anymore. You saw Ish Smith kind of tear it up against Philly the other night. I know it was a blowout. You know, guys like Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris, I don't think so. And then Andre Drummond. I just don't think that you're. That was a good job by me. I'm just saying all the players on the team, but I'm just not really interested in what's going on the Detroit side of the ball tonight. Atlanta and Golden State play in Atlanta tonight. Now, we've seen Golden State where they're now two games without Durant. And what we've seen in those games is they just aren't the same team. Now, they lost to Chicago. That was the first game without him. And they were sort of experimenting with rotations in that one. They did beat the Knicks yesterday, though it was probably much closer than they wanted it to be. They only won by 7, and that game probably, you really couldn't consider it over until the last minute. So what we've seen from the Warriors is a commitment to playing the three big guys, the big three, I mean, here, Curry, Thompson, and Draymond, with usage bumps basically across the board for all three of those guys. A little bit less on Draymond than obviously on Curry and Thompson. Now, Curry yesterday against the Knicks, he took 24 shots. Thompson took 21. The game before against the Bulls, Thompson took 22. Curry took 27. I do think you see that that usage continue to hover in that range as they're just going to need to take those guys. Those guys are going to need to take a majority of the offensive load without Durant. The problem here, the only problem I see with rostering them tonight is Atlanta is actually a pretty good defensive team. They don't play on the slower side, but right now they are fourth in the league in defensive efficiency, actually tied with Memphis. They're just a good defensive team. And so you get this sort of meeting of these two numbers of where the reality is. So yes, Golden State is a favorite. Yes, they have a decent total. The Curry and Thompson are not cheap anymore. So the sites have raised their prices with Durant being out. And I just don't know if the usage is enough there. Of the two guys, I do like the price on Thompson more than Steph, just because at only 7,000, if he's going to be taking 21 to 23 shots a game, which is that's a realistic number for him at this point with no Durant. I do think there's pretty huge upside if he were to just go full on heat check at 7,000. So I definitely would consider Clay to be a slightly better value than Steph here. And then Draymond, he hasn't seen enough shots really. His price is up to 8,000. I do think he has a nice floor considering they'll probably want to play him pretty significant minutes in this game, just especially with the way the Hawks just are sort of just built. So I do think you see Draymond playing here if the game stays close. He's up to 8,000 though, and he kind of just needs a lot to go right. He just hasn't been taking enough shots. He only had taken 9 shots in the last two games, with Curry and Thompson taking most of them. So those are the only three guys that I'm really considering. I would put in that order of value. I'd say Clay, then Draymond, then Curry, considering their prices. And the bench guys just don't play enough. They've really just Iguodala has played some 26 and 31 minutes, but no one else is playing anything close to significant minutes on that team. And then on the Atlanta side, I'm typically not totally willing to roster guys against Golden State. I don't think you're getting really any cheap value here. You've seen some more minutes from a guy like Cephalosha had played a decent amount. He's coming pretty cheap. You might want to, he's kind of a low ceiling, high floor guy at his price. No one else really is jumping off the page for me from Atlanta. Brooklyn takes on Memphis. This game has pretty big blowout warning signals. just going in. Memphis coming in with the biggest spread of the night at minus 12. Obviously, every time Brooklyn plays, we want to take a look at the team that's playing against them, because Brooklyn plays that perfect mix of very fast and very bad defense. So whenever you get Brooklyn on the schedule, it's easy to just kind of take a look at the other team and say, I want one or two players from that squad, because they're just going to get such a volume increase based on the pace and the fact that, you know, Brooklyn just plays Matador D. With Memphis, it's a little weird. I am worried that the game gets out of hand pretty easily for them, and they are a smart enough team that you're not going to see huge minutes from guys like Conley and Gasol, who would be really just the two I'd be interested in here. Conley a little bit more than Gasol. Both of them are coming in at solid points per dollar multipliers. They're both kind of expensive at this point, but I'm a little worried about the blowout. And so that's really my only concern when it comes to those two guys. I think you're getting nice prices. You know, Gasol at 81, Conley at 78. Prices ticked up a little bit on them, so it's not just a total slam dunk. And obviously, like I said before, the problem you run into is if the game gets out of hand, if they're up by 10 or 12 or more going into the fourth, and that's the end of the minutes you see on them, and they've played, you know, 28 to 29 minutes instead of 35, then you're really kind of getting crushed at value for them. So that's my concern. It might be the only reason I would stay away from playing them on a huge slate in cash games, just because you just don't have to. You know, if there's five games on the slate, then I think you're willing to take the risk. With 12 games, I just think you can find enough other stuff out there that you don't need to run into the thing where Conley and Gasol don't see the fourth quarter and now you're really in trouble, and they don't really play enough of their other guys enough minutes to really consider. And obviously Brooklyn, total stay away, bunch of losers anyway, and then now they play against the slow, defensively sound team like Memphis, and you don't even need to bother with that one. Portland takes on Minnesota. And this is an interesting game. This is an interesting game for me from a tournament perspective. Because of the way some of the cheaper value lines up, I don't know if you're grabbing a ton of cash game plays from this game, just because, you know, you got guys like Towns, but he's going to be at a position where you may have a guy like Biombo or someone like that. So I don't think you need to necessarily overpay for a guy like Towns, though I will say we have Towns as the highest overall just center play that you can grab tonight. So I do think they're a good play. I'm not sure you end up going there in cash games, but this is an interesting game for me from a tournament perspective, because I do think there is a way to kind of get a little bit of separation from the field on some of the chalk plays, and this would be an interesting game to stack, because it's one of those games that falls sort of just outside the value zone, because you get a guy like Towns, a guy like Wiggins, maybe Rubio to some respect. They're getting a good matchup against the Blazers. Georgie Dang falls into this category somewhat, though, on that lower end. They're getting a very good matchup against the Blazers, who do have struggled over the course of the season to defend the interior. Nurkic actually, you know, throws that a little bit into question, because he's just a bigger body than they had in the past, though he's not a phenomenal defender. He's more of an offensive first center. But because Towns and Wiggins and, to some degree, Rubio play really solid minutes over the course of the year, their prices have come up, and they're just priced fairly at this point, rather than just being, you know, you're not getting any kind of discount on them. But if you play them in tournaments, they all have pretty big upside. I probably wouldn't play Wiggins and Towns together, but stacking maybe Lillard on one side and then Rubio and Towns on the other, hoping for a close one and hoping that you're getting separation off of some of the other probably chalkier plays, is definitely a strategy that I could employ tonight. This game for me stands out to be one of the ones to sort of consider that with. Again, I don't know if I'm going to do it in cash games, but Lillard and McCollum on one side, maybe not together, but you kind of may stagger some of your lineups. Towns, Rubio, maybe Wiggins, again, not all together because there's diminishing returns on playing all of them together, but combinations like that I do see as pretty tournament viable. That's going to be a strategy I take in tournaments tonight. Not just the only game I'll do that with, but that is definitely a game that I'm going to consider sort of just stacking and making some correlation plays there. So yeah, that's an interesting one for me. I like the Minnesota side a little bit more than Portland, though. I will say our system is a little higher on Portland, considering the multipliers you're getting on a decent defensive team in Minnesota. So That's kind of where my thought process lies with that game. Houston goes and plays the Spurs. This should be one of the better games of the night, just from a tune-in perspective. Spurs are only minus four, so I think you're not worried about a blowout and, you know, guys like Spurs playing their minutes. And of all the games, this is the game, for the Spurs at least, this is a game where you can feel pretty good for guys like Kawhi and Aldridge and maybe even Gasol getting a minutes uptick, because it's an important Western Conference game against the Rockets. System loves Kawhi tonight. I see Kawhi definitely as in play for cash at 9,200 on FanDuel. He stands to see minutes in the mid to high 30s, just because the game should stay close. He's played 43 and 39 in his last two, and those ones have been, well, one of those was an overtime game against Minnesota, so that was really only probably 38 minutes of regulation. But if you think that this game stays close, 36 to 37 minutes for him is totally reasonable, wanting him to be out there possibly fronting Harden at times. So I love Kawhi for cash. He's going to be one of my more popular cash game plays, just because I think that he just stands to see a ton of the court tonight. Aldridge, not as high on Aldridge here, but I think you can see more minutes from him as well. If we thought that at some point Gasol's minutes were going to tick back up, and this would possibly be a matchup where that happens. He played 35 two games ago in New Orleans. Didn't end up playing in that overtime. It was on the back-to-back against the Timberwolves. But if you thought this moved for him back up into the 32, 33 minutes, great matchup there. So just a lot of value on that Spurs side of the ball, especially from those three guys, if you think the game stays close and they're going to play with their core in a close one. Going the other way, Harden, it's funny to think about playing guys against the Spurs, because you don't feel fantastic about it. For Harden, we're in a situation where, one, there are going to be a lot of cheap plays tonight. And at some point, when that's the case, you start just kind of looking for raw points at the end of the game. So if you think that this is a game where Harden, they play him a ton, again, Western Conference matchup, important game, possibly for seeding, if these two teams are incentivized to grab a better seeds, these are the kind of games you want to win. I can see a case where we ended up playing a guy like Harden just because shooting guard is pretty thin. You can get savings elsewhere, and at some point, you just need to pay for some of the raw points. So while 12,000, I don't think he's not a great, he doesn't have a fantastic chance to hit 5X on this price, just because, Kawhi and company are real good on defense. But if you're looking at the position that has the least amount of value and you're getting savings elsewhere, that's where I can see playing a guy like Harden. The rest of the team is just not, Eric Gordon pretty cheap on DraftKings at 4,300, though he sees some usage, sort of second team usage concerns, having brought in Lou Williams. That's why we've seen a price dip for him there. So this game is interesting. Like I said, could we end up overpaying a little for Harden here? Maybe. And then the Spurs side of the ball, I really like the big three in Kawhi, Gasol, and Aldridge. New Orleans coming on the back-to-back. They played the Lakers last night. Tonight they play the Jazz. On a big slate, you don't really need to take any risk of playing a team against the Jazz. So I don't think you're really worried about just making those decisions at all. Anthony Davis has seen a pretty significant price dip on DraftKings. He's down to 9,500. If you think at some point the price outweighs, sort of like with the concerns you have with pacing and defense on the Utah side, then maybe. But again, I'm not sure you're going to really want to go there, and it's definitely not going to feel great. Utah, interesting. Rodney Hood came back and played a lot of minutes last night and was really, really good. I don't know if they're going to want to run him a ton on a back-to-back. He's still coming very cheap, though. So if you thought there was no minutes cap on him coming, considering he played last night, I do think Hood is interesting from that point of view. But I'm just not. I'm a little worried that they're going to want to manage the injury piece with him. If you were to sit on the back-to-back, which is definitely in play, there is a usage to go around when he's not on the court for guys like Hayward, guys like George Hill. So we can take a look at that situation if we get word on Hood. It's funny to think about Hood as a kind of a difference maker in your lineups, but I do think one way or the other, you either can consider playing Hood at 4,200 if he were to play, and then you can consider possibly the other pieces if he were to sit. Like Joe Ingles is going to come cheap, and like I said, you're going to get some usage increase for guys like Hayward against a New Orleans team that is not great on defense. So keeping your ear out for that situation, but that really is the only kind of piece that I'm kind of really considering on the Utah side of the ball. Gobert, possibly he's getting expensive. He's going to have to front both either or Davis or Cousins, depending on rotation. So I don't know if I'm going to really want to take that risk with him tonight. The other 9 o'clock game, Denver and Sacramento. Denver, huge favorites. They actually have the biggest line of the night. Oh, no, excuse me. They're one half a point less. They are 12.5 favorites against the Kings. And this game, while it may get exciting on the Denver side of the ball and they're going to see some scoring, you just really can't trust the minute situation with Denver. Blowout is a concern, and even in non-blowout games, they just don't see consistent enough run from any of the starters to feel like they're any kind of safe. Like, if you could pencil in a guy like Jokic for 35 to 37 minutes a night, then yeah, he'd be 100% worth the safety piece of his price on FanDuel and DraftKings. Like, he's 10,000. The problem is, that's just not the case. Two or three of the last six games or something like that, guys played 29 or less minutes. That is just it's too much of a risk for cash games to think about the idea that he's going to play less than 30 minutes, which is definitely a possible. Now, for tournaments, the guy's got as much upside as anybody. Like, that, there's no doubt about it. He has a ton of upside. You just can't. And so for tournaments, you can easily go there, and you can easily consider stacking parts of this game. On the Denver side, maybe Jokic, maybe you think it stays close, and you grab Ty Lawson on the cheap for the Kings. There are some pieces that you can kind of fit in and around tournament play where they probably will end up correlating somewhat with each other. But for cash games, it's too risky. The risk of the blowout and the fact that the Nuggets already just play pretty fast and loose with the rotations, I don't think you need to go there in cash games. And the final game on the slate is the Clippers and the Celtics. Celtics coming off a tough loss yesterday, losing on the buzzer beater by Ulis on the steal in three that ended up losing the game for them in Phoenix. They are, Al Horford sat yesterday. Kelly Olynyk was a pretty chalk play, then barely played. I don't know. Horford right now is questionable, so I don't think we're going to know about him prior to 7 o'clock lineup lock. If he were to sit, you know, there does open up some minutes here and there for some of those big guys, but we saw last night that Brad Stevens is going to play matchups more than he's just going to play a set guy. Just a one-for-one swap. That's really just not how he's going to play things. So I don't think you can trust from cash games any of the big guys if Horford were to sit. Avery Bradley is going to be back. It looks like he's probable to be back today. They just rested him on the first end of that back-to-back yesterday. He'll be back, so that's going to take Jaylen Brown out of the picture, and it's probably going to lower some of the usage that we were getting on Thomas. And guys like, you know, increased minutes expectations on guys like Marcus Smart. So this game, while it should be fun to watch, I'm not sure how totally safe it is. I do like, on the other side of the ball, I can still get behind guys like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin here. Their prices haven't totally come up in line with sort of what we can expect maybe with them. I really like Paul more than, I actually really like Paul just for maybe possibly from a cash game perspective. So the minutes have been a little erratic, though a couple of those games have gotten out of hand for them and they haven't had to play him in crunch time. But if you think that this is a game that stays close, he's going to see 35 minutes, Celtics can keep the game into the fourth quarter, then I do really actually like Chris Paul. Isaiah Thomas is not much of a defender, though he probably won't defend him. They'll probably put Thomas on Redick and maybe Bradley on Paul. Still, though, Celtics do struggle on defense, especially against point guards. So I do think Paul, as another one of those guys that you can maybe consider maybe overpaying just a little on. And then Blake, too. I think that he hasn't seen some crazy upside recently, but matchups like against Chicago and Milwaukee aren't ideal in terms of a pacing standpoint. I do think you could see him creep back into the discussion here. Not like a lock for me for cash games, but so between the two guys, I would much rather play CP3 than Blake, but I do find that game to be interesting, definitely interesting from a tournament perspective. There's lots of ways you can go with tournaments tonight in terms of just game stacking and sort of correlating stacking, like you play Paul, Griffin, Thomas, I think you get separation on all those plays. That would be a way that I would consider going tonight. So there's just a lot going on. There's a ton of games. There's a ton of value. There's really just so many ways you can play things tonight. I do end up thinking you see some more chalky plays just because the cheap guys are cheap and they're going to kind of stand out for the opportunity they're going to have. I'm thinking of guys like Biombo or maybe Rashawn Holmes, things like that. But otherwise, it's going to be interesting to see how people play some of the bigger money pieces tonight and sort of how they end up fitting lineups together. because there's so many with so many games on tap, there's just a ton of ways to go. All right, I'm Doug Norrie. I'm from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over to our membership page, free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Membership's going to give you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NHL projections as well, baseball when the time comes, all under one blanket. You will be happy with the service, our users are, and yeah, you'll be set to go for DFS. We'll be back again tomorrow, James Davis and I, talking Tuesday basketball. Be good, everybody. Everybody.